Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this beautiful warm day, and hope it is a blessed day and you have a great afternoon. At this time, you'll take your red pad and sign it and pass it down, have a record of your attendance. We would appreciate it. Several announcements to make. Let's try to go through these very quickly. Session and trustees will be having a meeting after church. I guess we'll maybe meet next door in the library, because I think the women of the church are having a meeting today also.
We had ours at 9, but we have
So we're meeting in the CE room.
Yeah.
Okay, meeting next door. The women have already met, so session will be meeting over in the CE room. Some donuts, so that'll be nice. Nursery's open every Sunday, and if anyone needs and doesn't take a child in nursery, the speaker is in the library straight through here. If it's not plugged in, you can plug it in. Sometimes it does get unplugged. If you have a coughing fit or don't feel well, or there's some comfortable couches in there, and you can hear the service. Vacation Bible School, July 18th through the 27th. 22nd. Well, that would be bad, 27th, wouldn't it? I'd have people dropping out. You can talk to BJ or call the church. Regular youth group will be July 10th and July 24th. And youth group flea market, so you want to start planning on that, will be August the 20th. Deacon's pig roast in September. And next Sunday, July the 17th, we'll be having the baptism, which we're very excited about. Also, I got an email from Thomas, and I tried to print it out, but I could not, but I'll get you more information. On Saturday, August 20th, they will be having their PRISM, P-R-I-S-M, garage giveaway for students from out of the country. It's a very good program, so they're asking for donations of furniture, things that students can use. No large sofas and that type thing, but I'll try to get you a printout as soon as possible. And I've got a phone number if you would like to call, but you can look it up online or in the phone book and call yourself if you would like. But it's a local 412 number, but it is for students, so remember that. I visited Ernie McFadden this week. Friday afternoon. He is now in Manor Care on Perry Highway. He would really, really like some visitors. That's the best way I can say it. He would really like some visitors. He is lonely. He's not really happy where he's at. He's sharing a room. He would just really like to see some of the members of Glenshaw Valley. So if you have time, you're in that area, you can stop by. He's on the first floor, room 160, bed B. When I went by, I always try to remember to take a piece of paper in case someone's not in the room to leave him a note. Then I went looking for him, and he was sitting in the hall in a wheelchair lined up against the wall with some other people. And when I started talking to him, he said, "Would you like to go to the room?" I said, "Yes." So we went to the room and stayed there about 45 minutes talking, and you could just tell it really lifted his spirits. So, Manor Care on Perry Highway. Sorry about that. Yeah, it's right near Willie's ski shop. You know that little kind. You know, it's kind of hard to get around there, but once you get in, it's fine. Any other announcements that need to be made? BJ?
I too.
Shop for a Cause at Macy's. The money goes to the Women's Association. We've been doing it for years. It's a very good cause. Saves you money if you like shopping there. Need a teacher. Do you have a specific grade that you need a teacher for?
Fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. And I need somebody to do the math and recreation.
Fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. Someone do the snacks and someone to do the recreation. I did recreation one year. It was a blast. So. There's a volunteer. There's one. Okay. Yes. It's too late. People asking about the valley. I talked to an artist yesterday. She said she couldn't get it out. So hopefully she'll get it out Tuesday, and it'll be on the back table, but it'll come out on the internet. I'd asked her to hold it up 1 week, so it's partly my fault because I wanted to write a specific article about the General Assembly's pronouncements, the new form of government, and the chastity fidelity, and a little bit about what was going on. And then and that delayed her, and then she was not able to get it out for various reasons. But it will come out. Sorry that it will be late. So it's a little my fault, a little her fault. But I told Session Tuesday night that I had delayed it because I wanted to speak with them before I wrote my article. Now, when you read my article, I only had a limited space to write an article, so I did the best that I could with it. It'll probably give you more questions than answers, but I put in there that you can call me. Please call me if you have any answers, any questions. Well, if you've got any answers, please call me. Please. But if you've got any questions, call me, because I'm still trying to discern some of this, read through the materials, because our form of government is changing, and I wrote there, it's the most changes since I've been an ordained minister in Presbyterian Church for 25 years, and was pastoring 2 years before that. Most sweeping changes I've ever seen. And so it's a lot going on, and the session is working very hard to work for these changes, and we're meeting this afternoon to start some of this already. And the new Book of Order will be coming out. I've ordered the Book of Order through Cokesbury. Hopefully that will be to us very soon. So I know some things will upset some people. Some people won't care. Some people, right or left. But if you're upset about anything or don't understand something, please call me. We'll talk on the phone. I'll be glad to come to your house. You don't even have to feed me. You know, a glass of water and I'm happy. So let's always talk about it. Just remember, we're family. Let's do the best we can. But it's really, I don't think things are going to affect us at Glenshaw Valley. We're going to be the same church that we've always been. Let's just love one another and go on with the mission that Christ has set before us. Any other questions, announcements, anything? Yes. Okay, it's by the flea market. You said a table is free for a member, but there are rentals from outside the church cost, and you can start donating items to the flea market, and then it goes towards camp.
Okay.
For bank account. Okay, I was having a little hard to hear. Anyone else? All right. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn of praise this morning is "We Have Come Into This House" on 588. Thank you. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father,
we thank you for the rock of our salvation. We praise you for allowing us to hear the gospel message. Forgive us when we do not live in the fullness of this good news. Help us not only to receive your word with joy, but to spread the message of your divine love. Teach us how we can stay focused and not allow the things of the world to rob us of our relationship with you. May we live the Christian life to the best of our abilities, in the power of your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us join together in a sense of unity as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. If you're not sure of someone's name, be sure to ask.
Thank you.
you. Our responsive reading is Scripture 633. Scripture. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God stands forever. Continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness.
So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart.
Nothing in all
we did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty.
For we receive honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to Him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love; with Him I am well pleased."
We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with Him on the sacred mountain.
And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as the light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts.
Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. I'd like to open up this portion of this first service for the pastoral prayer. And a few to mention: Sue Galley, her nephew Bob at age 53 passed away a couple of days ago. And I want to remember her and all that family in our prayers. Arlie Cornelius, a co-worker of hers, Wayne Roberts, he just recently passed away, and his wife had passed away, I believe, last year. And they have left behind a three-year-old child. And so that is a very sad situation. So let's be in prayer for that family and for that child. We've had a visitor here now for a good while, and they go to camp some, Don and Annalise Staub. And I saw her at the pharmacy yesterday. As he approached me and told me that Don is suffering from lung cancer and has been given a year to live approximately. So let's remember Don and Anna Lee in our prayers and for comfort. And let's, of course, remember Ernie and the mission for Thomas and Kathy, who is going in for surgery. That is tomorrow at which hospital?
Mercy.
At Mercy Hospital. And I'm assuming that's outpatient, probably outpatient, okay. So let's be in prayer for her. And Justin Rakowski, who I sent out an email about, his grandfather, who was more like his father, who raised him. And I did the service Friday night at 8 o'clock. And let's remember him, Justin, and all the family in that loss. And then the ones that were listed in the valley and on the back of our bulletin. Any other prayer requests at this time? Aunt Mary?
Mary-in-law.
For her aunt, in worse condition. Anyone else? Yes. Two friends, Eric and Diane.
Joanne.
Joanne, I'm sorry. My ear's a little stopped up today, so I'm having a little trouble hearing from the gallery. Yes. Okay. For the Apple family, and then a friend in North Carolina. Anyone else? Okay, for June, traveling to Atlanta to see her son and daughter-in-law, and then some more traveling for safety. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord, and then we'll lead you into the Lord's Prayer. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for truly this is the day that the Lord hath made. And we thank you for our local Presbyterian church and our presbytery. And we thank you as we, as a church, in a sense, struggle with our new form of government, and at the same time, hopefully we have a sense of newness and anticipation for what lies ahead, trying to find always the best, having a positive attitude, a good outlook. We thank you for that. We thank you for Glenshaw Valley, for what it means to each and every one of us, the love and the fellowship, the mission, the music, the prayers, the meals, everything that we do together as a family, because we really are the family of God here at Glenshaw Valley. We celebrate together, at times we cry together, and yes, sometimes we even fuss together. But we thank you that we have that opportunity, and then to reunite around the name of Jesus Christ, around our salvation, around the love that you have given to us, knowing that we are bound for eternal life. We thank you for that. So we come together in prayer and worship, and right now in prayer for ourselves, for our church, for each name that has been spoken, each name written down on paper in the valley or the bulletin, those prayer requests that are unspoken, that are private. We thank you for hearing our prayers and answering them through your mercy and your goodness and your love and your concern, and showing us through Jesus Christ how much you care for each and every one of us. When you were here upon this earth, you healed and you taught, you loved and you shared your life, and you were willing to go to the cross. Thank you, Lord. Help us to love in that same way. Help us to take the seed that was planted in our heart and let it be fruitful. Let us pray for one another, for the best that would be for each of our lives. And Lord, thank you for this beautiful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Our next hymn is not a screen song this morning. It is the solid rock on 404. And that's what Jesus Christ is to us. Our firm foundation, our solid rock, 404. Thank you. Let's bow for a thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ, what it means to us, what it means to the world, to our families. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for grace and mercy. Thank you for the promise of eternal life. Thank you for the gifts that you've blessed and given to the church. May we use them for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for each gift that is used. Bless this congregation. Bless each individual. In the precious name of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
In today's scripture, the parable of the sower, Jesus asks us to consider what type of listener are we? In this parable, the sower is Jesus. The seed is God's word, and the soil is us, the listeners to the word. Are we the prejudiced hearer, whose heart is hard and mind is shut, and an easy mark to be taken away by the devil? Or are we shallow listeners who initially respond with emotional reaction, but when it wears off, their mind wanders to something else? Or are we the person with so many interests and so many cares and worries in the world that we don't take time to study or meditate on the word, and therefore don't comprehend what is truly important? Or do we approach the word, hearing it with an open mind, always willing to listen, study, and to learn? Please listen to Matthew 13, 1 through 22, 3. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell upon among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorn refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of his life and deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what is sown. Let us all be the good soil.
Amen. Thank you, Bill. I think we all understand, we realize very basically that to succeed in life, our attitude, a positive attitude, is critical. Of course, not everyone has a good attitude about life. Some people have a downright rotten attitude. The internet carried an item recently that reflects a rotten attitude. It's called The Cynic's Guide to Life. It's a clever takeoff on some of life's familiar cliches. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a broken fan belt and a leaky tire. I believe for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows, and a foundation leaks, and a ball game gets rained out, and a car rusts, and on and on. Follow your dream, unless it's the one you're at work in your underwear during a fire drill. Do not walk behind me, for I may not lead. Do not walk ahead of me, for I may not follow. Do not walk beside me either. Just leave me alone. If you don't like my driving, don't call anyone. Just take another road. That's why the highway department has so many roads. It's always darkest before the dawn. So if you're going to steal someone's newspaper, that's the best time to do it. Keep your nose to the grindstone and your shoulder to the wheel. It's cheaper than plastic surgery. And finally, this land is your land. This land is my land. So you stay on your land and get off of mine. Not everyone in life we know has a great attitude, but a great attitude is really important for all of life. In fact, our attitude can determine whether or not we actually respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus is teaching by the Sea of Galilee, and such large crowds have gathered around him that he gets into a boat and sits out on the water to teach while all the people stand on the shore. And he begins his teaching with a parable. The soil is anyone who hears the message of the gospel. Now think about that for a moment. You and I are the soil in this parable. I could have said that we are dirt, but dirt sounds a little bit negative. No one wants to be called dirt. Jesus is trying to make a positive statement here. So we are soil, hopefully rich, productive soil, the kind that you would want to plant flowers in and your crops in. And the writer of Genesis tells us that we were all created out of dust, out of the ground. So Jesus begins his explanation by saying, the soil is anyone who hears the message of the gospel, and the seed sown along the path is anyone who hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it. The devil, the evil one, comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. Why don't these people understand the message of the kingdom? One reason why we might not is because we have been culturally conditioned to think in a small box. We all know about Gandhi. Well, he believed one of the biggest challenges to the independence movement in India was not that the British, but the mindset of the Indian people themselves. He recognized that most Indians had such a low opinion of themselves that many believed that they deserved to be occupied and ruled by the British. Unfortunately for these humble people, the British knew that and they used it against the Indian people. The British presence was not all that large in India. It amounted really to a few governors scattered around in a country of millions of people and just pockets of small military groups scattered around the country. And describing Britain's power over its people, Gandhi said, "Never were so many ruled by so few." And it was true. So he set out to show India a different way of thinking, one that spoke to their souls about the greatness that they could have. The outcome was India's successful move to national independence in 1948. In the same way, we have people within our culture who may not respond to the gospel because they have been conditioned against it. They may sit in church around our nation week after week, but they've been so beaten down by their upbringing since they were children that they have negative expectations that have been given and placed on them by others. Maybe their parents or their grandparents or their family. They have such a low opinion of themselves that they cannot even hear the message of the gospel and salvation, that they can be set free and that they can be somebody. They want to believe. Their low attitude of themselves makes it nearly impossible. And every time a little seed of hope is planted in their hearts, the evil one comes and snatches it away from them with lies about their self-worth and what they can be. They say that, says Jesus, is the seed sown by the path. Now, the seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Now, in Israel, much of the land is 2 or 3 inches of veneer soil over limestone bedrock. And when the sun beats down after the seed has been planted, then it hits on that soil and that bedrock, and it heats up, and it just withers away, and it dies. It's too much heat. It dies because the soil is rocky ground. Now, why does the rocky ground refer to? How about the complacent church member with one foot inside the church and the other foot outside of the church? We're concerned with respectability than with righteousness or holiness in their life. This is the half-hearted saint who never makes a full commitment to Christ and to Christ's kingdom. Evangelist Donald Barnhouse told a story many years ago about a man who brought a bottle of perfume back from France for his wife. And she just treasured that perfume. It was very expensive, and it was in a very beautiful bottle. His wife was very proud of it and used it until it was gone. Even when it was gone, she kept it on a table in her dressing room, and her friends coming in the room would say, "Oh, what beautiful perfume. What a beautiful bottle." Then there came an occasion when the woman wanted to wear the expensive scent, but the bottle was empty. So she took her handkerchief and put it down into the bottle and left it there for a couple of days. And then she got enough fragrance that she could kind of put it on her, and she got another day's worth out of that perfume. Barnhouse will tell that story and say, there's so many people in our churches who are like that. If someone came near and would listen to their conversation, you may be able to hear them say, "Oh, my grandfather, my father were Christians, and my parents were Christians, and they went to such and such a church, and they were members of this church." The fragrance of their commitment from their family still lingers around them in their lives, but as far as they're concerned, their bottle and their relationship with Christ is empty. They've never made a commitment to Christ themselves. They have no fragrance of Christ in their lives because their personal bottle is empty. Barnhouse went on to say that so many Christians who have given so much keep it tightly sealed in themselves. No one passing near would ever know for a moment that they have the Spirit of God within them. And the one wonderful thing about God's perfume, if we have it, if we accept Christ, the more we give it away, the more empty the bottle becomes, the more God will fill that bottle, fill our fragrance of Christ back up. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word of God and once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they only last a short time. These are shallow, complacent church members still getting by on their grandparents' faith or their mother's faith. They have no root. The bottle is empty. Then there is a third group. This is those who are exposed to the gospel. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke out the word, making it unfruitful. Now, this group is easy to identify. They either don't show up at church very often, or when they do come to church, they're always checking their watches. They're hoping that the service will hurry up and get over with so they can get on with their real interests and their real concerns. They've got to get to the restaurant before the other churches let out. Company's coming, so we've got to get home and clean up the house. The market's bounced around a lot this year, so we've got to get home and look over my investments in my portfolio. These are not bad people. They just never really focused on God and their relationship with God and what God expects from them. God is basically not relevant in their lives. Dr. Greg Hendricks tells about a writer who married his secretary. The writer was a stern and difficult person, and Hendricks recounts that the man dearly loved his wife, but he was thoughtless and absorbed in his own interests and his activities, treating his wife as if she was still his secretary, still his employee. Stricken with cancer, she was confined to her bed for a long time, and then she finally died. And after the funeral, the writer went back to his empty house. He was grieving deeply. He wandered around aimlessly downstairs, engrossed in thinking about his wife, missing her. And after a while, he went upstairs to a room and sat by the bed in the chair that was there, where she had been lying for months with the cancer. He realized with painful regret that he had not gone up and talked with her and sat with her very often. And he noticed her diary there that he would have never picked up and read while she was alive, but he picked it up and began to read it. The one entry called him. It said, "Yesterday, he spent an hour with me, and it was like being in heaven. I love him so much." He turned a few more pages and read, "I listened all day to hear his steps in the hallway, and now it's late. I guess he won't come to see me today." He read a few more entries and then threw the book on the floor and ran out into the rain into the cemetery. He fell on his wife's graves in the mud, sobbing, "If only I had known, if only I had known." He says, "I wonder how many of us will stand before the Father one day, our Heavenly Father, saying, 'If only I had known, if only I had known how much you loved me, God.'" In contrast to the writer's wife, who apparently said little or nothing about her love, God, on the other hand, has made it abundantly known how he feels about a relationship with us. But we're too busy, too concerned about all the things that are important to us. We're like the seed that fell among the thorns. But there's a final group in Jesus' parable. The seed falling on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is what one who produces a crop yielding 100 or 60 or 30 times what was sown. This is the wonderful thing about seed sown on fertile soil. It can lead to a harvest bountiful beyond imagination. And someone has said, you can count the seed in any apple, but you cannot count the apples in any one seed. French author Jean Giono tells the story of a young man who was undertaking a long hike through France and to the Alps in the year 1913. The young man runs out of water in a treeless, desolate valley where only wild lavender grows, and there's really no trace of civilization except an old, empty, crumbling buildings. Lacking water, he encounters a shepherd who shows him a spring where he can drink from. Curious about the man, he has chosen this lonely life. The young man stays with him for a time. The shepherd, after being widowed, has decided to restore this ruined landscape of the isolated, largely abandoned valley single-handedly by cultivating the forest. He's made 1,000 holes in the ground with his curling pole, dropping the acorns into the fertile soil or into the soil. The young man leaves the shepherd and returns home and later fights in the First World War. In 1920, shell shock, what they called it then, and depressed from the war, he returns. And he's surprised to see young saplings growing, taking all forms of root in the valley, and streams of water running down where the old shepherd has made dams. The young soldier makes a full recovery in the peace and the beauty of the recovering valley and continues to visit the shepherd. Over 4 decades, he continues to plant trees in the valley and is turned into kind of a garden of Eden. Giono writes, on the site of the ruins I had seen in 1913 now stands neat farms. The old streams fed by the rains and snows that the forest conserves are flowing once again. Little by little, the villages have been rebuilt. People from the plains, where the land is so costly, bringing youth, bringing motion, bringing vibrance, the spirit of adventure to this place. You see, my friend, good seed on good soil brings forth a bountiful harvest due to the dedication of one single man. Four kinds of soil, says Jesus, four kinds of people. Those who have been culturally conditioned to resist the message of God's grace. Those who have heard the message but have never given themselves completely over to it. Those who have heard it but have too many other concerns to focus on God. And finally, those who hear the word and apply it to their lives and become faithful, fruitful members of the kingdom of God. Which kind of soil, which kind of person are you? Which do you choose to be? May God bless you. Amen. And this time, very excited, we have three new persons we're bringing forth for membership. They've been through our class, read our literature, met with the session, and been approved. And I'll call them up one by one. Melissa, if you'll come up first. Melissa Sears. She's a commercial traffic director at KISS Radio, places commercials on there. Right now she's living on Sexenberg Boulevard. She's the child of Lorraine and Brian Kelly. And that's her daughter Aubrey Sears, and who will be baptized next Sunday. And she enjoys music, watching football, enjoys playing softball, going to musicals and concerts. And she circled occasional office help, occasional gardening, and we can certainly use that. And she said that she misses the old bazaar that we used to have here. That was a part of her life. This time I'll call Jennifer McComb, and it does not have an S on the end of the name, so you can strike the S in your bulletin off. She's a physician at, I just forgot the name of the hospital, Shadyside, thank you. And she lives over on Charrington, am I saying that right, Charrington Drive, with her husband Paul. Has two children, Henry and Samuel, who were just recently baptized. And she likes to read and likes to cook. And she checked occasional office help or vacation Bible school, kitchen duties, occasional gardening. And, I see where I wrote it now. I wrote it down at the bottom. She works in the intensive care at Shadyside with pulmonary. Am I say that right? Okay. I want to make sure. Never know with me. Okay. Paul. He's the director of the YMCA in the greater Pittsburgh area. And he lives at the same address. Has the same children. Go figure. He enjoys sports. He likes to golf. Following Boston sports. So let's be easy on him. Maybe we'll convert him later, but give him time. Be easy on him. Like to find out more information. We talked about the polity, the government of the church. You know, he was asking questions about being elder and how the government works, and we had our new member class and that type of thing. So he wants to find out more about the operation of the church, in which we're all going to learn more about the operation of our church here soon. But he used to be a stonemason by trade, but he hurt his back and had to give that up, but does some things around his house when he can like that. He circled youth activities, occasional church repair or maintenance, leader or co-leader for small group ministry. That really excited me there. Kitchen duties, luncheon, occasional gardening. So we're very excited about them coming, and they're all coming in by reaffirmation of faith. We're unable to get your letter, so reaffirmation. So I asked them if we could ask them these questions. I like to do this. It's not always required, but I think it's good to reconfess your faith in front of a group of people. And the answer will be, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. If you're able to say that. Who is your Lord and Savior? Do you trust in Him? I do. Do you intend to be His disciple, to obey His word, and show His love? Will you be a faithful member of this congregation, giving of yourself in every way, and will you seek the fellowship of the church wherever you may be? Okay. Will you do everything the pastor says? No. Nobody can answer that one. I want to welcome you into Glenshaw Valley once again as a full member, and Eugene for the first time, and you, Paul, very excited. And I'll ask you, if you don't mind, if you'll take a seat on the front row, and after we sing our final song and have the benediction, if you'll come just stand here for a moment and give members of the congregation a chance to come up and welcome you into fellowship here at the church. Thank you. Oh, I forgot to keep showing their photographs. Okay, we'll do it. That's Melissa. After I got Cliff to load them up this morning. Jennifer, and I like the background. That's a good background. And then Paul. Don't they all take good pictures? Did you get to see yours, Paul? You like it? There's no redos here. Okay. Our closing hymn is 102. There's something about that name. I believe that's right. Yeah. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary, if you find yourself not in the good soil, not in the soil that you should be, not in the fruitful soil, make a determination in your mind this day that you will begin to grow, that you will draw closer the Christ, that you'll spend time in the Word, in prayer, in fellowship, in church, that you will become a better person, a better Christian, a better member of society, that you will do whatever it takes. Go forth in power, in love, in mercy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.